It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. Good morning, everybody. Okay, I have a lot to talk about today. Hold on, let me get... The cats are ready to freaking go. So let's start with quiet on set. Because I think and I hate saying this, but one of the major villains in Drake Bell's story is his mama. That poor father. Look, Drake Bell himself obviously was a victim, but the story was so fucking sad for the dad because that dad clocked Brian Peck. So Brian Peck was an independent contractor on these sets, which is such a loophole, right? Oh God, creepy. But he was like a vocal coach or some shit, but Brian Peck's dad was his manager and he clocked that guy. He's like, this guy's weird. But then Brian Peck does what a lot of them do, groomed him, made him think your dad's, no one even likes your dad on the set. Everyone wants your dad to go away. And so then it turned him against his dad and said, I'm going to have mom be the manager. Now I bet that Brian Peck guy knew he could get the mom to be like, yeah, just take him, whatever. He could tell that the mom wasn't as invested. So he's like, yeah, your mom, that's no problem. Like, your mom should be the one taking care of your business so that I can assault you. So the dad hands over all the info to the mom and it's like, don't ever let him be around Brian Peck alone. He tried his fucking hardest, man. But his mom was like, I don't want to drive up to Los Angeles. Yeah, you just take him. Oh, my God. And so then it started to become like, well, you know, I don't want to drive down to Orange County tonight. I'll just take you tomorrow morning. So then the sleepovers start. So this poor dad is like, man, I tried. And it broke my heart, too, that when it comes out that there's some lawsuit and this Brian Peck is being accused, when that dad says to Drake, goes, I'm just so glad he never got to you. Yeah, well, sir, at Peck's sentencing hearing, Drake Bell says that Peck's side of the courtroom is totally full with supporters. And that's what happens. That fucking happens. Whereas Bell's side, he just had his parents. Fucking mom, that mom. Celebrities wrote letters of support. This is the big reveal on Brian Peck. People like James Marsden, Alan Thicke, Taron Killam. But a lot of people have, once they heard the full scope of the accusations, a lot of people were like, well, hold on. I wasn't told all of that. So I don't want to hold it totally against all of these people, but some of the letters were very victim blame. Some of them were very victim blamey. Like, some of them said things like if Brian Peck did this, he was forced to do this. He had no choice or something. So that really kind of solidifies that they didn't fully know the scope of everything. Because it's like, that doesn't even sound right. What do you mean? Nope, that doesn't work. So I feel like I can believe that they weren't given the full scope of things. Like, I just don't want to believe that an adult would be like, well, if that adult man was assaulting that young boy, he was forced. But Brian Peck is just one example of the Nickelodeon toxicity. Brian Peck had also assaulted someone else, right? Yeah, because he went on to keep going. And Drake Bell is like, I thought that that would be the end of it. Little did you know. People really didn't care about kids back then. The other thing, so with Nickelodeon, I wasn't, I grew out of Nickelodeon pretty quickly. Like I watched Are You Afraid of the Dark, all that. But actually, to be honest, I wasn't really an all that girly. I was more of a Roundhouse girly. Remember that show? It was very, it was like my thing because they were all musical theater. So I was like, oh my God, this is so me. So I kind of grew out of it. So I didn't see, I didn't even realize, you guys, that Ariana Grande started on Nickelodeon. Where have I been? I did not realize that she started on Nickelodeon. And seeing her face like that, like before, you know, she's had like all the rich people things done to it. I was like, oh, and then seeing the scenes that they wrote for her with the potato, the scene where she's got to squeeze a potato and she's begging it for juice. What the fuck? Because it wasn't just like this was one little scene that was captured on someone's cell phone. There was a whole crew of people. You know, like I can't understand how the other one too, where the joke, they couldn't get this thing to squeeze out of the tube, and then it splatters and splurts on her face, on Ariana Grande's 15-year-old face. You know, this really explains so much about us as people who grew up on this, right? How like fucked up we are. That we think that it's normal that we allowed that. Oh, that was so gross. There was the one who was, what was his name? Let me find it. Sullivan, who appeared on All That, spoke about the Fear Factor inspired sketches involving an actor lying in a bathtub with earworms, which is just gross and too scary. But then the other one, the actor that had to get peanut butter licked off of them by a dog. Okay, like that is so clearly some weird niche porn video that they were like, oh, this will be good on a kid's show. Okay, what the fuck? Brian Hearn, also an actor on All That, recounted being part of a sketch where he was playing a fetus and needed a skin-colored suit. And he overheard someone saying that the suit needed to be a charcoal color. Now, this brings me on to the racism that occurred. But also, like, I'm going to admit, it never occurred to me that Black people were always cast as the drug dealer or the robber or the criminal until I was way too old and was like, oh, my God, that is so true. And even on this kids show, there was Tracy Brown was Brian Hearn's mom. She was awesome. She's like, I was the only one who gave a shit about this stuff. But she got annoyed and mad because in Hearn's first sketch, he was kind of playing implying like he was a drug dealer. She's like, of course, the Black kid has to be the crack dealer. It's like that is just what it was. Is that not crazy that was so normalized? We just were like, yeah, that makes sense. Making all the Black people be the criminals. Oh my God. Like, no wonder we were so fucked up. We're still undoing so much damage. And then that's why Trump coming along and reinciting Make America Great Again, AKA segregated, which is essentially what he meant, I'm assuming. Sorry, I should not even get on this topic, but can't help myself. Oh my God, this is one of the best Starbuckses I've ever had. My Starbucks order is very annoying though. So it's not even, this isn't even coffee. It's coffee. There's coffee somewhere in here, but there's 4 pumps of sugar-free vanilla. I get the blonde roast, 4 shots of espresso, 4 sugar-free vanilla, and a mocha drizzle and almond milk because the regular milk hurts my stomach, even though I will eat ice cream later. I'm sure of it. Beyond that, okay, so that's that shit. Let's talk about Dan Schneider, who is literally and even physically the Harvey Weinstein of Nickelodeon. Ew, this man. Ick. He really thought he was gonna like break out and do real, not just kid stuff. But they said, We don't want you. What good are you? because he was disgusting. He kept writing in all these sketches where he was like the god of them. And I actually do vaguely remember, I feel like I was flipping through an Us Weekly or something, and it was about the Nickelodeon Awards or something like that. And it was a picture of him with the cast of all that. And I remember being like, who the hell is that? Dan Schneider. And it's just like, it's not often that the creator of these shows makes themselves such a star, right? That's just like not, that's just not a normal thing. It doesn't happen a lot. But this is just showing you the times and the years. So two staff writers, Christy Stratton and Jenny Kilgan, they dealt with a lot of it, but the best is they were hired as a pair and had to share a single writer's salary. They had to share a single writer's salary, which was so illegal, according to like the union, that the people who set the standards for how people are treated found out, they were like, that's not allowed. You're never allowed to share one. It's a single person salary. You don't split it. But they really spoke to exactly what it was like for basically anyone back then. This is the training we got. I got, you suck it up. How bad do you want it? You suck it up. You do it for the experience. Do it for the experience because it's worth it. It gets you in the door. And once you're in the door, that's worth it for you. There you go. And that was just the start of it. And of course, Schneider, with his weird facial hair, did a video apologizing, and he denies that he ever had anything to do with paying writers, and that his sole role was that, you know, it was just about creating the shows. Bullshit. Bullshit. I don't believe anything you say. This one really, oh God, because I can't even imagine. Kilgan, one of the writers, said that Schneider would play pornography in the writer's room. Come on. Come on, fucker. Like, ugh. Watching porn with people you work with, even just having it on the screen, you're like, I don't need this. Okay? Like, but having to pretend like you're okay with it. And then on top of that, he would say, if you give me massages, I'll put your sketches on air. Oh God, massaging that man. So when I worked on set, I was a director's assistant on like an indie movie one time. And I became like, it's funny because being on set, a lot of it is just keeping the crew happy. And because I was the director's assistant, I didn't really have much to do once we got there other than making sure she was taken care of. But then I became like the video village masseuse. But it was mainly like women. Like it wasn't anything like that. I can't imagine if the big fat asshole who creeps everyone out was like, send Emily over so I can get a massage. God. And they showed a still shot and he has his head tilted back and whoever's giving him the massage is like, No. This was interesting because Kilgan didn't even want to talk about it. It was Stratton. So Kilgan describes a time when Schneider made Stratton pitch her sketch while pretending to be getting fucked in the ass. Okay. Any monetization just went down the drain with me just saying that. Stratton's like, I can't even talk about it. Stratton's like, please don't make me relive that. Don't make me talk about that. How fucking degrading and humiliating is that? Did he ever make the men do that? I doubt it. To make a sick. There was a costume designer on set also. And there were actors and there were parents and they cited, they were like, oh yeah, there was always someone massaging him on set. One time this one, I think she was the showrunner, was like, oh my God, he wants me to come massage him. He wants me to come fucking massage. Does he know how busy I am? That's the other thing. You're fucking busy. If you've got something to do, we're like, I'm not just sitting in Video Village being an absolute creep. Okay. What finally got Schneider taken down was the Ariana Grande show. The other actress who is still on bad terms with them, like she didn't go to the reunion or anything like that. her dad died and he had her back on set like 2 weeks later. And that sparked concern. They were like, what? Can we look into this? Because this is crazy. This is a kid. It's a kid who lost her dad. And when they looked into it, the rule was, what did you write? Janet McCurdy. Yes, Janet McCurdy. Thank you. It's just Harlem. Appreciate you. So yeah, she was back on set way too soon. She's got all kinds of, yeah. They said, Dan, okay, you can no longer interact and have much say on set. He's the creator of the show. So he would show up, but like not say anything, which is the beginning of the end. Thank God. The beginning of the end. So overall, Nickelodeon was like a torture chamber. These kids also, I have to say that a lot of the parents and even the kids, some of the kids are like, yeah, the parents were just like, cool. Yeah. Go ahead and work past the like legal limit of child labor. Yeah, no, that's fine. We've already been here 16 hours and you technically should have been done 4 ago. I don't care. That's fine. No, that's fine. But that was like the weird mentality we were all in. We were all in this weird capitalist mentality. Work hard, you get where you got to go. Even children, fucking kids. No one. And I remember like thinking, being a child actor has changed so much because of this, though, because of shit like this, because of these horror stories. Being a kid actor, people actually, you know, care about taking care of the kids on set, because they're like, ooh, apparently there's like legal implications if we don't. Kids can get hurt. So, yeah. Amanda Bynes, I mean, her parents basically fed her to these people. It was gross. Like, they just wanted their daughter to make it, and they became like Dan Schneider's best friend. And he worked her to the bone, and Lord knows what's happened to her. Dan Schneider, that thing where he would play favorites. Like, he'd have the young, hot thing at first where he was giving them all the attention, having meetings with them, talking about their future and career and blah, blah, blah. And then along would come a new, younger, hotter. That's gross. That's not what I meant to say. But a new, fresh face. How about that? And Amanda was one of those. And you just get swept up. And then Amanda has yet to speak publicly about it, but she's also got enough going on. Okay, hold on. Let me look at some of these comments because I feel like I'm missing so many fun things you guys are saying. Janet McCurdy's book was really good. I'm glad my mother's dead. Ooh, should I read it? I will read a book. I don't read, but I will read a book once in a blue moon. Let's see, what else are you guys saying? Janet McCurdy didn't even attend the Nickelodeon. That's what it was, the Nickelodeon Award honoring Dan Schneider, which kind of confirms that the abuser she talks about. Oh, that's right. She does talk about an abuser in her book, but never names him. I was surprised they didn't have more like concrete, these are victims of Dan Schneider. I feel like they focused, like, they got a lot of Brian Peck, but when they investigated into Dan, when they launched the investigation, when they investigated into him, they didn't find any evidence of like sexual things. But there were more, even just his whole behavior. So Nickelodeon was disgusting. Gross. Rosalind says, 80s babies, we never knew how to advocate for ourselves. Not at all. We didn't advocate. You shut up. Like, that's the way you dealt with stuff. You shut the hell up and you make it happen, because no one likes complainers. That's really how they got you. Now that I think about it, that's really how they got you. No one likes to complain. Don't complain. Okay. Just get it done. Get the job done. That's definitely the energy. The rumor is Amanda got pregnant from Dan, but I have no idea if that's true. Wow. Ew. Amanda's parents have also had her in a conservatorship till a couple years ago. Yeah. So I don't know what the story is, but at least she's been safe. Yes. But Amanda has unfortunately not necessarily remained safe Let's say that, because she's not done great. She's not been doing great. Side note, we have found, my sister and I, she found a great place that we're going to move my dad. So I'm going to be staying in the same apartment and we're going to be moving my dad out. So I'll be able to take over where the room he's been in. I'm going to make that into the studio. So maybe the Wi-Fi will be better in that room. I think possibly. So hopefully. Okay, it's good. Okay, no, you're good. You're good. Okay, good. Good. Good to hear. Good to hear. So yeah, Nickelodeon. Creepy. You know, it's funny. I never really connected with Nickelodeon either. Maybe I just deep down knew. No, it's just the age. That's all it was. But I'm going to take that credit. I'm going to pretend. Okay, next up, Tiger. I'm blocking the cat. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. Blocking the cat. Stormy Daniels. Did you guys watch the Stormy Daniels Peacock documentary? I gotta say, I guess I didn't realize what exactly was happening with the old Stormy Daniels Donald Trump thing. I kind of thought it was a Me Too situation. I thought so. But it kind of wasn't. Let me go through it. So she actually never intended for the story to be interpreted as a Me Too type of story. She's actually a registered Republican, which I also did not expect because, well, A, she's a porn star, and I always find it interesting when porn stars aren't like liberal. But we really, as the left touted her as a bit of a hero because it was like, oh, she's going to, like a porn star is going to be the one to take down Donald Trump. Isn't that like poetic type of a thing? So, I mean, this woman, she's a business lady. She's speaking at Oxford. She's at other prestigious universities because she's legit with her businesses. I don't know if she was the first woman to direct porn or produce porn or something, but she did something in the adult film business that was groundbreaking. So good for her. But let's go through what happened with Donald Trump, because I didn't know it was like this. So Daniels meets Trump at a celebrity golf tournament. I didn't even know that they put porn stars or adult film stars as celebrity golf tournament. I didn't know they did that. It just seems odd, but okay. Cause I just feel like golf is so like buttoned up, but that's whatever. He claimed that he wanted her on Celebrity Apprentice, but she's like, there's no way a major network is going to let me do Celebrity Apprentice. Like, he's like, I get one veto, one thing you can never veto. That ends up not working out. But anyway, the first time they hang out, when she's telling this story, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the time where he assaults her. But she's like, he had me go up to his room and then we talked and nothing happened. And I'm like, oh. And then they hang out a few more times. But then maybe the fourth or fifth, maybe third time, she's kind of like turning the corner in the room and he's there. And she kind of says, like, the next thing I know, he's on top of me. She did not say no. And she has actually never claimed that she did. And she wasn't going to ever do anything about it. Daniels is 27 at the time. Trump was 60. And his wife, Melania, had recently given birth to their son. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? The guy who's supposed to be leading the moral morally superior party. That's what he was doing. So in 2011, that was in 2006. In 2011, Daniels gives an interview to In Touch magazine describing her encounters with Trump, and she got $15,000, or she was going to get $15,000 for it. But it turns out that the interview never even ran because Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, threatened to sue when the publication called and asked for Trump's comment. And Daniel's like, I didn't even get paid. A few weeks later, Daniel says she's threatened by a man who approaches her in Las Vegas and tells her to leave Trump alone and forget the story. That was 2011. 5 years later, 2016, Daniels is represented by a person named Davidson, who tells the editor-in-chief of the National Enquirer that she's willing to go on record about her alleged affair. And then the editor-in-chief of National Enquirer, Howard and Pecker, they call up Cohen. Stop flashing your butthole, Tiger. She's such a grossie. Stop it. Show the people cute stuff. Anyway, so they contact Cohen and say, here's Davidson's contact. They're about to talk about it. So Cohen, this is where he negotiates a deal to pay her $130,000 in exchange for the rights to her story and a non-disclosure agreement. Okay. 2 years later, Daniels is represented by this mess of an attorney, Michael Avenatti. This guy's I think he's trying to run for president. He's a mess. He totally steals her money. He's a piece of shit. But that guy, he helps sue Trump for defamation. Now, this is what the defamation suit was about. And I was like, oh, that's what it's about? He wrote that Trump tweeted that her claims were a total con job. And so she sued him for calling her a liar. So I was like, well, then, yeah, federal judge easily dismisses it. And it's like the president's comments were hyperbolic, but protected under the First Amendment. No shit. He can tweet that without it being a lawsuit. Like, that was kind of shocking. I was like, I thought he did more. I honestly thought he was just calling her all kinds of names and saying she's a whole liar. But like the tweet was what got her, because technically then they addressed what the NDA was. And so if she signed, and the NDA technically wasn't even signed by Trump, which is what they were arguing. So not only does that judge throw out that suit, but she's ordered to pay the $293,000 in legal fees for Trump. Daniels then appeals that and loses again and now owes Trump over $600,000 in attorney fees. And so, girl. So I was also surprised Jimmy Kimmel and Seth Rogen were speaking on her behalf. Jimmy Kimmel had her on the show. Seth Rogen was in Knocked Up with her, right? No, I lied. He was in a movie with her. Not an adult film movie. How about this? She was in one of his movies, something like that. And so when this all comes out, mind you, this man is running for president, Trump. So she becomes the number one enemy of the right, or Trump supporters, at least. So she's got to like go on the road, because if she's home, there's paparazzi swarming her house and her daughter can't have a normal life. And so she feels like she's just got to stay away. But the woman is married. And the relationship with her husband, he speaks very fondly of her, but it was a very tumultuous relationship. And when all this Trump stuff first started coming out, she was lying to her husband. She was like, no, we never had sex. I was just like, but that's all going to come out. So the trust was broken once this started. Then she goes on the road, basically the whole time. She calls it capitalizing on the moment, which I guess kind of. But on the road, she commissions some guy to document everything, since it was, I guess, worth documenting to some degree. And then I think she has an affair with that guy. And I think she's still with that guy, or she's with somebody. So that her and her ex-husband break up. I don't know. I kind of thought I was going to feel a little bit more like, what a hero. But I sort of came out of it going like, why were we all applauding this lady? I think we were just excited at the possibility that maybe she could take him down, but it didn't even work and she lost. So, let me see what you guys are saying. You don't want to think about it, but I want him to be embarrassed. Hold on, let me see what you guys are saying. I haven't watched the Stormy Jock. I got to check it out. It's not... Okay, didn't Trump pay off with campaign funds? I thought that was the thing. The ins and outs of it, I'm not, yes. I actually had a lot of ins and outs of it written down, but I was like, that's not what people are coming to me for. Yes, that was the allegation. Michael Cohen is the one who was the fall guy for that. And Michael Cohen then, he said it was campaign funds, and he denied it was campaign funds. So, but Cohen definitely became like the fall guy for sure, which I think if you work for Trump, if you're like Trump's lawyer or whatever, if you're anyone in Trump's world, that must be like the prerequisite. Like if some shit goes down, you're taking all the fall. I don't get in trouble. Okay. I feel like that's very, if you want to be in Trump's circle, that's going to be where it goes. Where my frizzy hair queens at? Right here. Frizz is my mortal enemy. And Way sponsored the pod again. So thank you, Way. They have launched a new product, the anti-frizz cream. Now, I'm a little skeptical when a cream claims to be good for frizz because my hair gets weighed down very easily. However, I'm not just saying this because they want me to say this. I genuinely mean that this is the best frizz control, frizz-free, anti-frizz product I've ever tried. That's including all the oils, the Moroccan oils, the what I've tried everything you can imagine. I always, if I wash my hair and need to blow dry it, I will always use this. That's every single time. It is a new hair necessity of mine. Not only does it fight frizz, but it also protects against heat damage up to, I think, 450 degrees. So you're good. Helps repair split ends. I can attest to that. My hair looks better when I use this product. It smells so good too. Now, I like a lot of Way's hair products. They're leave-in conditioner. It detangles, it hydrates, it also fights frizz. The detox shampoo, I use that once a week, no doubt. Every week I use the detox shampoo because it cleanses product buildup, hard water deposits, dirt, oil, other impurities. It's safe for all hair types, including color treated hair, which mine is. Also keratin treated hair and Brazilian blowouts are fine. They also do fragrances, scents that are inspired by world's most fashionable cities, like Sydney's iconic Bondi Beach to the vibrant streets of Paris. They make a hair oil. This is your fast fix for healthy hair. It's nutrient packed. It absorbs quickly. It keeps color from fading and also protects from heat damage. The hair gloss, it's a conditioning treatment you actually use in the shower, and it gives you that gloss salon, like when you get a gloss at the salon feel. Very vibrant, shiny. It also does help treat damage. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to THEOUAI.com and enter code SHESPEAKS for 15% off any product. That's theway.com, THEOUAI.com, promo code SHESPEAKS. I have been wardrobely challenged for the last, I would say 10 years, honestly, but I didn't like the way I looked in clothes. I hated shopping. So when it was time to purchase clothes to wear out in public and be a normal functioning human being, I was overwhelmed. It's a big costly endeavor, you see. But then Quince came along and sponsored the pod. Now I've been able to shop for luxury essentials and stay on budget, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50. Yes, please. Organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. The best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do that by partnering directly with top factories. So they cut out the cost of the middleman and they pass those savings on to us. And very important, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. Best pair of yoga pants I've ever purchased. And I've purchased every big brand of yoga pants in the search for the best one. And I have to say, Quince's the best. They hold my butt up perfectly. They're not see-through. Oh, I love those pants. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shespeaks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shespeaks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shespeaks. Teen Mom. Teen Mom Family Reunion, it premiered not this past week, but the week prior. Ashley has not been invited to participate. And the Ashley stans are stanning because viewership for this show is so low. I think Teen Mom Fans, that amazing account, he posted that there was like 185,000 viewers or something. That's it. That's really low. That's really, really low for a TV show. The whole Ashley thing, like, I still am confused as to how Ashley was so, so villainized. Like, no one could ever talk. Well, I guess I forget. There was a lot of off-camera stuff. Shit gets so raunchy on Teen Mom. Shit gets ratchet, raunchy. Like, it is constant. There is so much. There's something always happening. There's someone always talking shit about somebody on social media on Teen Mom, it feels like. Just feels like it's constant. So I can't really keep up. I know Ashley was saying stuff, but then like, so was everyone else. So I really do get confused as to what the, like, why they hate Ashley so much. But I also know that Cheyenne tried to make up with Ashley, and Ashley was like, no, I'm good. And people were like, that's right, don't make up with her. And I'm like, okay, well, if she doesn't make up with anyone, then she's never going to, how is she going to be on the show? Like, I just don't get it. There's all sorts of stuff too with Barr. I don't know. I'm confused. I don't know. Macy and Taylor are still, they're still in a rough place, and they're still blaming it on parenthood and how they don't have a lot of time together. They do have three kids, right? They have her first and then two together, right? So yeah, it's a lot, but they've been in this kind of same place for a minute. Are they doing next chapter? Are they doing Teen Mom OG another season, or are they just doing family reunions now? Is that the plan? Corey and Taylor are there, and Corey gets wasted. I just felt so bad for Taylor because Corey is starting to drink before they even get to the group. And you can feel her. She was already nervous to go. This is not really her thing, filming these things. This is not her vibe. So she's already nervous. Like, this isn't her group of friends. And then he's getting all wasted. And God. Because, like, honestly, men who get drunk like this become weapons of mass destruction when they get drunk. There's no stopping them. They start going all nuts, and you can't, they're people. So you can't just, you want to like knock them out with a tranquilizer and be like, wake up tomorrow and then we'll talk. Because then they start going on rampages and running all around. And it's so sad for Taylor. I'm glad that Taylor has Cheyenne there. And Cheyenne is so sweet about the whole thing and not making it worse in any way. But Cheyenne and her man have all kinds of stuff. I'm very confused by her man. Like, what are they hiding? They're hiding stuff, right? It's like this, the thing here. Okay, let's just go off a little bit about MTV in general and their fucking shows in general. Not really Drag Race, but kind of sometimes Drag Race. I feel like MTV actually, after Real World, after the like organic rawness of Real World, they have gotten so formulaic with every single show they do. So Jersey Shore, next week, I'm going to just rip on Jersey Shore. I was going to do it this week, but then we got some other shows to watch. Because it's like, as a lover and viewer of reality TV, MTV, they don't give a fuck, it feels like. The producers don't give a fuck. They're like, we're just going to overuse interview soundbites when we, like, I don't need a fucking interview soundbite to tell me that someone walked in a room. It drives me crazy. Like, someone walks in and everyone gets a soundbite that they have to put in. We're like, Tyler's like, whoa, I didn't know where Corey was, and now he's here. Cool. I don't need that soundbite. But it's like they just plug the same shit every episode, and there's like not enough meat there. They don't let it breathe. They don't break the fourth wall nearly enough on Family Reunion, because they got Jade and Cheyenne pretending like they're the ones who planned this whole trip. Like, we wanted to go with doctors that were trained in couples counseling. I'm like, you didn't call the doctors. Why are you lying? Like, just say you guys are showing. Why does someone have to be in charge of this trip? Oh my God, it makes me so crazy. Like, I'm watching this, like, I actually am interested in these people's stories, but the producing gets in the way of it. It makes me crazy. Jersey Shore, you know, I'm gonna save it for next week, because like, that's another thing to be mad about. But the Teen Mom, they just get in the way of scenes playing out all the time, you know, like with all the editing. It's like they're making everything into kind of a music video where you're like, wait, what's happening? Like let me go through my notes. Sorry, I just cannot deal with it. They make me very angry. They do. They mentioned Tyler's OnlyFans, and everyone is uncomfortable. And I am grateful that they're addressing it and they're all admitting they're uncomfortable, because I am so uncomfortable. I am so uncomfortable. Okay, so episode two, the first episode, Corey gets drunk, basically. So episode two opens with this someone coming in like a surprise. Like they're like, who's that? Who's that? And you know you're watching MTV when there's a fucking cheesy interview soundbite put in to drag it on even longer. They love someone coming in. They do it on Jersey Shore all the time. So like someone's walking in and they're like, who's that? And then soundbite. I'm like, who's coming in? This person over here. I'm like, everyone's already here. So who needs to come in? I'm like, oh my God, just fucking, it's just the doctors. It's just the two doctors. It's just them. It's just those people coming in. That's it. Let them walk in. Hello. Thank you. Who else would it be? Jesus Christ, you guys. Makes me feel like I'm watching a kid's show sometimes. Why are they like really trying to make it seem though like Jade has planned this? I picked these guys. One of the doctors is Tyler's doctor. What do you mean you picked them? Like, it's Tyler's doctor. Isn't that a conflict? That felt like a bit of a conflict to me. Like, Tyler, who's been working with Tyler and Caitlin for, this doctor's worked with Tyler and Caitlin for years, and they're like, just pretend like they're brand new. Just pretend, hello. I don't know. That was weird. Dr. Mike. Micaiah, though, she seems cool. She seems cool. She's exactly the energy I needed. Except, what are they going to do? Because you see, this is what MTV likes to do. Everything these fucking doctors say, scripted. Complete. So they're going to say, I'm a compliment to Dr. Mike's work. But she's much better than most. Like Vanessa on the reunions. Oh my God. I meet you in the here and now and how all these things that you're uncovering affect you today. Cool. I'm looking forward to dealing with her. The first thing they do is they do an exercise where they have to dig in the sand for treasure as a metaphor. And then the pieces they dig up have to be put together to finish the puzzle. It is some cool looking heart. Macy takes full lead of that team. Macy leads them to victory. Macy is a rock star. Okay. I need to talk about though Caitlin's bangs. They're distracting me. There's this like bang here in the front. And I'm like, if you're going to do a new look, do a new look. But this isn't even a new look. Caitlin has not changed her look in this entire time. It's just, okay. It's anyway. This exercise to me, I was like, cool, thanks. I don't know if it did a lot. I feel like they were tired and they should have just like done a little round conversation. But whatever, that's neither here nor there. The next day, Corey and Taylor get a session. He gets super argumentative and defensive about his drinking and possible cheating. She's like, this man goes out and gets wasted. And we all saw how wasted he got. And like, who's to say he's not going to cheat on me? Who's to say that that's not going to happen? And he's like, oh, well, I'm not allowed to go out. Well, I'm not allowed to do what I want. I'll have fun. Fuck off. Ugh. It's like, oh, so Corey, excuse me. And Corey and Taylor's daughter has so many health conditions. So it's not even like they're just, you know, a mom with healthy children. They're a mom with she's got special needs to deal with. So she's like, I don't have time to go out and party. Clearly, I don't think she ever really was that type of person. They got together and they got pregnant really quick. So I don't know. Corey really, but at the end of the session, I guess he's like, I really want to change. Cause she's like, I'm all about being a mom. He's like, he kind of was like, yeah, she's a great mom. I hear about it all the time. But anyway, Taylor feels good after. That's all that matters. Cause she's like, at least there's someone to tell Corey how dumb he is, basically. Like someone finally can be like, Corey, you're the problem. Okay. She's not the problem. You're the fucking problem. Jade and Sean are in the process of planning their wedding. They are $45,000 over budget, but they're trying to sell the house. This is I do give Jade credit for this. When Sean was in rehab, Jade bought a fucking house. Jade, you know, she's obviously the money from the show starts rolling in too, but like she was doing her thing. She went to beauty school. She did her thing. She handled it. But I feel like Jade has not had nearly enough therapy to work on healing from that period of time with Sean. Because I feel like she still very much punishes Sean a lot. And I actually feel for Sean quite a bit. Because she just kind of gets mad at him for not being, I don't even know. I don't even think she knows. Okay, but they go to this second, whatever it's called. What's it called? The exercise. They're not challenges. Exercise. Group building. Whatever. They go on this crazy looking party bus first. And the debauchery. Like, they are twerking. But then they get to this group therapy session, which I was like, this is odd. They were like, let's get these fuckers as drunk as we're... I think they only let you have 2 drinks an hour now on MTV. I can't remember. But they're dancing and drinking on the party bus. And then they get somewhere where they're going to have to do like a team building, whatever the fuck exercise. And I was like, I don't know. This just seems like a conflict. Like, seems like during therapy sessions, you wouldn't want anyone intoxicated. But they're like, we still got to make a show. Because MTV wants to like put in party clips, you know, like where they're like slow-mo dancing and shit on the party bus. So I like got to have at least those clips, even though this is therapy that we're doing. I'm like, I don't think I would want them buzzed for therapy, but fuck, whatever. I don't know. But they get to this group therapy thing, and what's her name? One of the doctor goes, "We're going to make you moan." And Sean is so offended, but I feel like I know why. I feel like him and Jade have not been having sex at all, and he was uncomfortable with that. If they haven't been having sex, and it might be like an awkward thing for him to then talk about it. I don't know. Maybe it's like a big secret. Maybe he never tells anybody. Maybe he doesn't want anyone to know that's the situation. But eventually he moves on from it and he's fine with it. And they go into whatever this moaning thing is. Let me tell you, it was not okay. This moaning exercise wasn't fucking cool. Okay. I don't like it. I don't like, then Dr. Mike demonstrates. Why does he demonstrate it? Oh God, it was so uncomfortable. I hated it. I'm like, don't ever do this to me again, you freaks. I hate you all. I guess this exercise is so that they're not performing, but really experiencing each other. I just wrote, what the fuck? Make it stop. I cannot handle that exercise. Then I was like, did they want them a little buzz for this? Because that's the only way they would have participated. Oh God, it was so weird. Tyler and Caitlin say they have sex every day. I don't buy that. I know they say that they're super sexual. I just feel like they've agreed that they're going to talk like that. I feel like they've agreed that that's going to be what they tell everyone. I don't buy that at all. Okay. I don't buy it at all. Jade's like, I have been holding out, though, for the last 6 months because I'm afraid of getting pregnant, like anything during this period of time. Like right now, there's just no way I could handle being pregnant, whatever. And Sean's like, oh, that was really helpful to find out. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was good. So it seems like it was productive. Well, they get back to the villa thing and they're all getting ready for bed. And Jade finds out that the sale for the house that they thought was going to go through did not go through. They countered again. And Sean is like, well, it'll sell when it's meant to sell. And she's like, okay, that's just like not, I need you to be, it's like, I don't really know what she wants from Sean. Sean says to her, like, okay, I'm in my head about it, but like, I'm not like, what do you want him to do? Go, oh my God, what? That's just clearly not how Sean is as a person. So that's, you want him to express himself as a completely different person. I don't know really how else he's supposed to be. Then I know this will be dealt with next week. But then Jay tries to say, and Cheyenne told me that you said we haven't had sex in 6 months. I'm like, oh, see, so she was drunk. She was drunk. She didn't even remember saying that shit at that thing. Because she's like, no, I didn't. I would never say that. And it's like, hi, flashback to 20 minutes ago or whatever it was. you said that. You said, I've been holding out on Sean for the last 6 months. So I don't think drinking before that group activity, team building, exercise, whatever the hell it is, I don't think that was the move. Okay. Because she didn't even remember saying it. Now she's fighting with Sean over it. How could you tell them? How could you tell them that it's been 6 months? Girl, you literally said that. I'm shocked. Malpractice. This is also very clearly like TV show therapy. Like this is like very much not real therapy because no one's getting drunk before a therapy session. That's insane. Utterly insane.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay. Drag Race. I didn't even take notes on Drag Race because I hate bathroom humor. I hate it. I can't even say the words. Ooh, and the whole thing was very bathroom humory. So I'm going to ignore what some of the bathroomy stuff was, and I'm going to talk about the bigger points that got on my case. So, Q. Okay. Q needs to check herself. Q better not fucking win. I don't even want Q in the top four. You cannot be that sore of a loser. Who are you to say Safira didn't deserve that win? Who are you to say that? Why? She held her team together in the challenge. I think maybe you and Plain were funny, but like, I didn't think it was all that great. Honestly, I didn't. And Katya did that. Didn't Katya do that? The joke of please look at these slides or something like that. And it was a picture of slides. I think they stole the joke anyway. So I don't want to hear it, Q. I could not believe the mug on her. Then she has the nerve the next day in the workroom to be like, I mean, you didn't deserve the win. I mean, you didn't. You didn't. You guys know how much I love Safira too. Safira handled that so much better. I think I would have gotten so mad because I couldn't believe the audacity. I couldn't believe it. I would have gotten so mad that I would have started crying. You know, you get so mad, you cry. I'd be like, you're not cute. You know what? You don't even know. Okay? Who are you? I would have been like that. But Safira's just like, we'll talk later. Because they literally were saved by the bell. Then the mini challenge was weird. It was just weird. Just dumb. It didn't even matter. That was so silly. But their challenge is to design a bathroom for an eccentric couple. They're opening up a nightclub. And what's always wrong with bathrooms? The design. So the design has to be good. They're looking for very special amenities and features and whatever. I'm like, what? If this was just your way of addressing the issue with bathrooms in America and gender neutral bathrooms, et cetera, this is a really weird way to do it. Because they've done these in the past where they do like clubs, like do your mini club thing. And it's like they try to combine that with the bathroom topic, which is very important. But it didn't quite connect, in my opinion. Nymphia and Dawn really seem like they could have been good together in a pairing. But Nymphia just is that ADD kid that you can't get focused. Like, she's too hard. Like, even in the challenge, like, Michelle and Carson were having a hard time just, like, figuring out where to get in, you know? Oops. Whatever. But then Q ends up in the bottom. And I loved that. I also know that sometimes they do that just for TV show stuff. Like, if there's this whole storyline of Q being upset about not winning, they'll be like, well, let's make sure Q's in the bottom. But Q deserved to be there. Okay? Q, you're not so fantastic and amazing and perfect. All right. Period. End of story. Who won? Why did I forget who won? Plain and Safira, right? Yeah, Plain and Safira won. Oh God, Q's like, I'm gonna lose my mind. I did not get a chance to watch Untucked. I'm gonna watch though later, and I'll talk about it next week, I'm sure. Because I was Q really. Plain is the TV villain. Q's the actual villain. We've been clocking Q though. We've been clocking Q for a minute. Okay. During the lip sync, I thought it was just unfair that they did this Megan Thee Stallion song that is basically designed for morphine. Like, what's Dawn going to do with that? Oh, I guess he's... Allergies are out of control today. What's Dawn going to do with that? That's also a really hard... That's hard, learning the rap... That I feel like I honestly, because I love Megan Thee Stallion. I listen to her. I mean, if you turn on my phone, it's probably Savage. It's, I mean, I got it all. I love her. But I just feel like for a lip sync, that's a big ask. Learn this rap. Dawn did what she could do, but like, really, what was she gonna do? Morphine, of course, had the moves, had it all, but like that to have to perform in that chain dress was not easy, because that thing, you can even tell just when Morphine was just walking the runway, that thing was heavy. Doing the body adi adi dance with that on, I can only imagine what she does without that on, right? But Dawn left, and Dawn's goodbye was, actually, maybe I did watch Untucked. I did. I lied. I did. Dawn was so sweet. Dawn has everything in the world to be proud of. Dawn gave a great performance. She stayed true to herself from start to finish. She coined the, can I be honest, or whatever she says in Untucked, which is great, got a little drama. And she really didn't take things too personal. She didn't internalize things. She didn't get in fights with anybody about what they said to her. She just kind of like let it roll. I very much enjoyed Dawn on this, on every level. But obviously, with that, what was she going to do with that lip sync? That was just designed for her to lose. But I will miss Dawn. I miss her. I will miss her presence. I loved her banter, and I thought she'll be back for an All Stars for sure. A lot of like, let's do Tsunami. Let's do Dawn. Who did I say last week should be back? I can't remember. But this cast, definitely, they just need a little bit more polish, you know, and money. Honestly, that's the thing. It costs a lot of money to have all these costumes and stuff. So just once they get on the show and then they start getting some endorsements and booking more and stuff, then everything elevates. So. Okay. Anyways, I am going to end this because it's already about to go. I had to work out. I scheduled a workout for right after this so that I wouldn't dip out. I even have my sports bra on already. I'm like, oh, my shorts. So I'm going to go because they're going to be waiting for me in 10 minutes. But love you guys so much. Thank you guys so much for being here. Appreciate you more than you could ever know. Live chat, Instagram and YouTube, Facebook. You guys are the best. Where would I be without you? Nowhere, I tell you. Okay. Love you guys. See you later. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for tuning in to She's Speaking with Emily Hanks. This show is produced, hosted, and edited by me, Emily, and brought to you in partnership with Cloud 10 Media. If you are looking for bonus content, check out the Patreon. The link is in the description. To show some support, you can hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications so you never miss an episode. Another free way to support the pod, please rate and/or review on whatever platform you listen. It's free, and it helps the algorithm or something. You could also head to buymeacoffee.com/shespeaks and buy me a coffee or two. Make sure you're following me on all social medias. I am She's Speaking with Emily Hanks across all platforms, Threads, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. That's it. Thank you guys. See you soon.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.